Quaboss approaches, kick is in the air. Going to carry to Shaq Terry. Fields at the 3 on the far hash. To the 5, to the 10, 15, 20. Cuts up field, 25, 30 into the open 40. Midfield, 45, 40, 35, 30. All the way to the 15 and cuts it back inside and takes it to the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Shaq Terry! Wow! Shaq Terry starts in motion right, back to throw as Burks, going to hang it up near side Sumter. Justin's got it! Down around the 10-yard line, he will spin through one tackle and take it out of bounds at about the 2-yard line. Burks hung it up there, and Justin Sumter outleaped the defender, Joshua Murray. It'll be first and goal, Kennesaw State. Shotgun formation with Tyler Cook flanking DeLira on his left side, third down and 4 from the 26. Back to throw DeLira, guns it into the seam, ball batted around and picked off at about the 38-yard line. Bryson Armstrong, who came away with it. Burks taking the snap, and the option comes to the near side. Chandler keeps it himself, takes it down around the goal line and across it. Touchdown, Chandler Burks. From 11 yards away, and it's 33-3 with the extra point pending here. Cook flanking DeLira on his right side. Back to throw DeLira. Here comes the pressure. DeLira going to be dragged to the ground and sacked. Tenarius Portress got there not long after the shotgun snap, all the way back around the 12-yard line. Al's defense now just pinning their ears back and coming after him, and DeLira going to be having nightmares wearing smoke gray and gold. Final Word podcast on you again as the Owls get ready to travel up to Lynchburg, Virginia. Big game, guys, as they take on Liberty. Brian Giffen with Nathan McCreary and also Brandon Joseph. Tutan Reyes, they couldn't find a place to land the chopper today anywhere near here, so he won't be joining us for this. But he will be joining us for the ball game on Saturday night. But, guys, probably the most complete win, or certainly the most complete win for Kennesaw State Saturday night against Texas Southern. And you could make the case that this was the most complete performance against an FCS program that they've had thus far in their short history.
Yeah, well, Texas Southern came in 0-4, and we kind of said, okay, this is going to be a meter mark for Kennesaw State. Can they take on a team that everyone thinks that they should beat and beat them handily and play 60 minutes of football? And why I think they did that.
Well, the other thing is that, and Brandon, we'll bring your thoughts in on this, but the three phases part that coach has been looking for, I think without question they answered the bell on all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams Saturday.
Yeah, you got three quarterbacks in. That's always good when you go to your third quarterback. That means you're comfortable, you're up, you're winning big. Defensively, they had a lot of takeaways, a lot of quarterback pressures. And, yeah, the special teams, we've been talking about that for weeks, that they have to – you know, put together good special teams, and then 97 yards to start the second half on a kickoff return for a touchdown. I mean, you can't ask for anything better.
You know, we've seen a couple of them the last couple of years, both of which were called back, ironically. I still remember the P.J. Stone one in the first ever game in program history. But more impressive, I think, to me, and almost more important, is how well they covered kickoffs in particular. But punts, you know, Coach wasn't as pleased with that coverage, but the kickoff unit coverage was very important, and they did keep them pinned pretty deep in their end of the field for the most part.
And in the last three games, special teams hasn't been one of those glaring things that you've got to fix, you've got to work on. The kickoffs have been very strong. Thompson's been solid on extra points. He hasn't had to have a field goal, a long field goal anyway. And then the coverage I thought was fantastic. He had a very, very shifty runner for Texas Southern receiving kickoffs, and he returned a kickoff earlier in the season, 93 yards.
Yeah, the week before.
That's right, the week before. So to keep in your lanes and maintain that that discipline on kickoffs, that's a good sign.
And good tackling never hurts either.
Yeah, you take a look at just the stat numbers from the returns, 9 yards average from Texas Southern on our punt return. That's not good. You want to limit that. But only 20 on a kickoff return. And we talked about it during the broadcast. If you take a touchback, you get the ball to 25. So keeping teams pinned within that 25 and back range, great job on the kickoff coverage. Punt coverage needs to get a little bit better. But, you know, you take it in a stride.
Yeah, baby steps, but they certainly showed a lot in both those categories and big improvements, frankly, over the way it was earlier in the year. Now we turn our attention to Liberty. Liberty is a very disciplined, very fundamentally sound program that has a rich history. They pride themselves on playing the game the right way. You simply can't go up there and make mistakes of any kind against a program like this. And for me, this is kind of a benchmark game for Kennesaw State.
Yeah, and this is a Liberty team that's at the midpoint of their season. They've had their bye now. They've accomplished what they've wanted to do so far. They picked up a big FBS win against Baylor, and they are sitting, you know, within reach, even though they're not eligible for that Big South tournament. They want to be at the top of that standing as the season ends to kind of push their way into that FBS standings.
Yeah, for them, what are they playing for? They're not playing for a Big South Conference championship.
No, they're not even eligible for FCS playoffs.
They can't even do that. Yeah. So what are they playing for? They're playing for their pride, and that's a very prideful program. Turner Gill, their head coach, wants to go out there and compete and win every game because that transition for them is going to be rough, and we've seen they played Baylor very well. They beat Baylor, but they've had their own struggles this year, and to try to make that transition, it's a whole different ballgame, so they got a lot they need to work on themselves.
Well, and the issue of pride makes it a little bit more of a scary game because, you know, they go win that big FBS game and they shock the world, so to speak, against Baylor, but then they get their rear ends handed to them by Jacksonville State and they turn around at home and lose to St. Francis. So this is not only a program that's been wounded now twice in a row, but they've had 2 weeks to sit around and think about it and to prepare for, you know, let's face it, when Kennesaw State has played Liberty, there's been a lot of talk back and forth. These have been very chippy games, and it's pretty obvious that this is a rivalry for all these players.
Yeah, this is the game that was a homecoming for Kennesaw State last year. Liberty returned the favor, and it's homecoming for them this year. They'll have festivities. They'll have the crowd there. Look for this one to be just in the crowd, on the field, all the way around, a spirited event.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of pageantry around this game being their homecoming game. And for Liberty, they need to go out there and they need to execute. Their biggest problem has been failure to execute. They like to throw the ball a lot, but defensively, they have not played well at all the last couple of games.
Well, and Coach said it, you know, when we spoke yesterday, one of the keys for this one is, of course, Calvert doesn't like to run Buckshot. I'm going to call him Steven because that's his given name. But Steven Calvert doesn't really like to run, so pressure is going to be important, but coverage is also going to be important. Gandy Golden is the receiver that had the career day against Baylor. They've got some threats down the field. They also have some depth in their backfield. They've got a couple of really experienced players in Carrington Mosley. Frankie Hickson's the one that returned the kickoff 99 yards a year ago that kind of flipped that game around. And speaking of that, you know, that's that again is where special teams become so important in this one. That's what totally flipped the momentum when they played head to head a year ago.
Well, if you're going into this one, you see Kennesaw State gave up 44 yards of offense against Texas Southern.
Yeah,
you got to really like the momentum that Kennesaw State's defense is going into special teams, and that's why that 60-minute game was so important for Kennesaw State. You've put a game together and saw what it looks like, and that's Kennesaw State football. If that's what you want to define your team as, that's a good build type game. And going into Liberty, you've got to build on top of that.
And for Kennesaw State, the book is pretty well written. They like to run the ball. They need to run the ball. What is Liberty's biggest soft spot defensively? Their run defense. They get gashed defensively on the run. So for Liberty, having that bye week, that open week, they probably prepared for the run pretty heavily. So for Kennesaw State, keeping that dynamic of passing has to be there. And for them, they haven't been as crisp as they want to in the passing game. But, you know, things got better at Texas Southern. They had a lot of good short passes that were turned into big gainers. They had the right calls offensively to combat that. So that's a good thing. Going back to that Texas Southern game, it was truly a get-right game for them.
We said it Saturday, too. Any coach that looks on the surface and says, this team prefers to run, of course they do. But any coach that thinks, oh, they don't want to be in a situation where they have to throw the ball, hadn't been paying attention.
Yeah.
Because Justin Sumter put on a show. You know, coach always talks about the things he does away from the ball. But he did some pretty magical things with the ball. Not that many catches, but big, big plays. And, you know, he's a threat that's going to be tough for them to cover Saturday.
Well, there's just the way Justin Sumter plays. The play down here where he was tiptoeing the line, just grinding out that extra couple yards. We've seen the wide receivers be so physical on the edge, and that's where Kennesaw State has been running the ball very well on that outside edge. They can seal off some of those blockers. And that's the value of those giant receivers that Kennesaw State have.
Well, when you look at this game, of course, Liberty, you know, has gotten the upper hand the first two times around. So this becomes, in my mind, a bit of a measuring stick. If you're making that vast improvement from year two to year three, this is a game, to me, that you've got to go out there and make a statement in.
Is it okay to say Kennesaw State is – they've defined what they are offensively in that spread option, but they're still growing in so many areas.
Yeah.
This is the type of game that you're going to say, like I said, that meter game, how much are we growing, or are we kind of in a status quo as last year? You played Liberty at home, couldn't get the win. This year, they're going out. It's the last time you're going to play them in conference. Can you get the win on the road? That's going to be that's going to show a lot of growth and maturity for this team.
And for Kennesaw State, yeah, you're 0-2 to start against Liberty, but you have a chance to get the final one, to beat them and then say, bye-bye, get out, go. And that's bragging rights for a long time.
Yeah, take your 3-3 record and get the heck out of it. But,
see you.
You know, the other side of it is that Liberty has won the first two meetings,
right,
but they weren't exactly pushovers. Kennesaw State gave them all they could handle last year. Failures in the red zone, along with special teams, were a big key for the Owls last year. I think they had two different opportunities inside the 5-yard line where they came away with no points. The year before, when you're an upstart program, you go up there to Liberty. I'm not sure how serious they took you.
Right.
But, you know, you lose the game 45-35, but essentially got into a scoring fest in the second half and, you know, the last team to have the ball type of thing. Problem for Kennesaw State was just a bad second quarter when they played them the first time at their place where Liberty would have been a heavy favorite. So athletically, you have every reason to believe if you execute and play your game, you can go up there and get this done.
And one thing that we saw and fans were frustrated was the problems Kennesaw State had and within the 2 or 3 yard line trying to pound it in. You're an option team. You're supposed to get 2 or 3 yards, you know, anytime you need it. And Kennesaw State had problems last year inside that red zone. The very first game of the season against ETSU, they had the ball in the one and couldn't punch it in, and same thing. So they had problems all season long. Now go back to the game in North Greenville. That one drive, and we can really stake a flag right there on that one drive, North Greenville game, the game-winning drive. You have the ball, and you finally punch it in from that 1 yard line.
Yep.
And that, it was signature type stuff right there for Kennesaw State.
And Turner Gill is not the type of coach for Liberty that will try to, you know, let his team come in very low. He knows that those first two games could have gone Kennesaw State's way, that this could be a 2-0. Liberty has never beaten Kennesaw State. Now for Turner Gill, he has a lot to work on with his team and telling them, hey, yeah, you beat Baylor, but you've had letdown after letdown after letdown after that. This is going to be our last time playing them in conference. Don't let another letdown happen. And this is a team that could have beat you, and they're playing for something a little bit more than you are because they want to win this conference. The conference is right for Kennesaw State to go and win. So Turner Gill has a monster to deal with because you're dealing with 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds' minds, and I don't wish that upon anybody trying to corral that with all the highs and lows that they've been through this year.
This is one of those statement games that the Owls haven't quite gotten over the hump in. Charleston Southern, of course, is the other big elephant in the room, if you will, that the Owls have gone up against them twice, including last year with a chance to at least win a share of the conference title. Didn't get it done over there. You look for Chandler Burks and company to maybe, as a player-led team, to lead these troops in there and make the statement win.
Well, I tell you what, Chandler Burks played like a man on Saturday, Texas Southern. There was something extra in his step, whether it was the winged helmets, the dark gray uniforms, whatever it was. He was running with a purpose like I hadn't seen him run with this year. He ran that offense very efficiently. There was even some murmuring amongst the crowd. Daniel David moved that ball against North Greenville where Chandler Burks wasn't able to. Maybe David was going to stay in the game. Well, he didn't. They went back to Burks, and I think that was the sign of the confidence that Bohannon has in Burks. He is the leader of this team, no doubt about it, and if Kennesaw State's going to pick up a win on the road, it starts with number 3.
Yeah.
And for the second half, that was Chandler Burks' finest moment. The fact that he didn't have to play the second half, but he was still on the sidelines leading the team. He was in Daniel David's ear. He was in Brian's ear after every drive, and he did what he needed to do in the first half, a very dominant half of football that he didn't need to play in the second half, and that's the biggest testament. That's why that second half was so important. He did everything you needed him to do in that first half to where the second half he can be a leader and be a coach for the rest of his team, not just offensively but defensively.
And you never want to overstate the importance of anything because we've got a long way to go in this season alone, but I still wonder how much at some point, depending on how the rest of this season goes, including games like this coming Saturday, big ones, still wonder how much we look back to that drive that won the North Greenville game. Maybe that's where this team finally crossed over and grew up a bit.
You know what's cool about that, and talking about that drive, was when Kennesaw State wasn't playing well, it was just a play or two that kind of kept them in the game, and it was Bryson Armstrong.
Yep.
That new name. This kid is number 5 in the country in solo tackles as a freshman, as a redshirt freshman, 7.6 stops per game. This kid, he's that momentum builder that was able to keep Kennesaw State just kind of afloat when they weren't playing well, that defensive side of the ball. And then
the Alabama State game is a great example.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then you have the offense coming through and picking up that big drive. That's when you saw that puzzle piece coming together in offensively and defensively, and the special teams has been as good as well.
Going back to Nathan's point about Bryson Armstrong, this was a guy that in that North Greenville game, they had to start identifying where he was because they went 4 wide to try to get him away from the quarterback because the quarterback just – was terrified. Bryson Armstrong was living on his back at some point. And then you saw it last week with Texas Southern. Bryson Armstrong everywhere. Texas Southern was a team that loves to throw the ball. Bryson Armstrong was on an island a lot of times, and he did a great job. And defensively, you saw a lot of guys fill where Bryson Armstrong was left to having to cover. Jace White had to become very dynamic in taking over that rush role and then playing cover. Izzy Sam, I think he played every snap defensively for the team, did a great job not coming off the field, holding down the middle of that defense. That moment, that drive against North Greenville, it wasn't just an offensive jumping point, it was a team jumping off point.
You know, it's funny, I got some comments from Turner Gill yesterday that'll play in our pregame coming up on Saturday, which, by the way, will air at 5:30 on 1230 The Fan 2 and 106.3 here in the Atlanta area, and then online at atlantasportsstation.com. Pregame 5:30, kickoff is at 6 o'clock, but Gill's comments, which, again, we'll use in our pregame show Saturday, he didn't mention a lot of players by number or by name, but he did mention 42.
How
we got
to
account for 42.
Well,
other people are noticing one Bryson Armstrong.
No doubt about it. He's gotten some national attention. Tip of the cap to Keon Roman also on that defensive side.
Yep.
But, you know, Coach Newberry's defense is playing extremely well, extremely fast. And the coaching staffs that we've talked to have all said these guys attack the football. They might not be the biggest guys up front, but it's the speed and the attack and the mindset that's really driving this Kennesaw State defense.
Yeah, and on the defensive line, you have Dez and TP on those ends. And, yeah, they're not the biggest guys. They may not even be the strongest guys, but they're really quick. And for offensive linemen, you know, I have to get out of my stance. I have to get in an athletic position very quick because if I'm a half step late, these guys are around me, and then my quarterback's taking shots, and those shots build up over the time of the game.
And getting Portress back when the Owls did after the early season ankle issue that he had may have come at the perfect time because this defense is kind of clicking on all cylinders, and pressure is going to be so important against a program like Liberty and Calvert who likes to throw the ball all over the lot.
Yeah, lots of sacks against Texas Southern. I don't think they were ready for what Kennesaw brought defensively. We have seen them struggle to get pressure on defense. They struggled to get pressure against North Greenville, honestly, when they needed it. But getting TP back, we talked about a timely bye. That may also be one of those things that you say, okay, it's time to get healthy. They did. TP's back. Big South Conference play is here. Now you got to grind it the rest of the season.
And for the Kennesaw State defense, you know 5 guys are coming, at least 5 guys. It's a question for a quarterback of which 5. So when you're standing at the line and you see Jace and then Bryson walk down the line of scrimmage, you have to identify which one's dropping back, which one's coming at me. And it's a guessing game at times, and then you guess wrong, your team is now 2nd and 15, 3rd and 15, and then Kennesaw has a distinct advantage when they're able to get that rush.
By the way, you know who is number 1 in the nation in solo sacks? Bryson Armstrong.
Not surprising. You know, speaking of Armstrong, and I want to laud some other guys that are pleasant surprises to this point. Of course, Shaq Terry's a guy we really didn't know a lot about. Now he's the holder of the longest play in the history of the program. But Shaq Terry's been terrific. Trey Shivers has really grown up in this program. He's been terrific so far. And, you know, we've talked a lot about Bryson Armstrong. The defensive backfield, something that we had some question marks about going into the season. They haven't been spectacular. Roman would be the exception because of the picks, but that defensive backfield has been very solid. Nobody's picking this defense apart.
Yeah, going into the season, and we kind of talked about, all right, what are some areas that we're going to look at to see Kennesaw State has to fill voids or mature in? Of course, that offensive line and C.J. Collins, the center position was one of them. We also talked about losing the running back from last year,
Chastain Bennett.
Thank you. And so those holes on offense, I think they've been filled. Trey Shivers, who you said grew up in this program, didn't get a whole lot of playing time. I think this guy's got four touchdowns in the last four games. So he's doing really well. The offensive line doesn't seem like they have any problem with chemistry. And then the secondary, how can you complain about what they're doing? I mean, they've been all over the place. They won the game, a couple big plays to end the game against North Greenville and some big plays against Texas Southern.
Yeah, for Kennesaw and offense, you take a look at those backs, and Bronson Rechsteiner has had five games as a back on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, he doesn't know all the blocking assignments yet. He's five games being on the offensive side and moving over from defense, but he's still been pretty amazing. A 20-yard touchdown run a game ago against North Greenville. Then, yeah, you have Shaq Terry, and then you have all these guys that are not just running the ball very well, but they're blocking and they're holding their assignments really well, and that's the big thing. And, yeah, on that secondary, it's not – don't do everybody else's job. Do your job and do your job very well and let everybody else do their job, and then you have 11 guys working in cohesion.
You talk about a wealth of riches. You know, we've touched now on Shaq Terry and Trey Shivers. We hadn't even mentioned the guy who's the author of the second longest play in program history. That's Darnell Holland, who I think is due to have a breakout game against somebody. This would be a good week to do that.
And I think he's probably battling a couple little small minor injuries. We saw him on the sideline against Texas Southern.
Lower back
type stuff, and that's tough to run with. But he went out on the field, and he continued to grind it out. So, yeah, the backfield seems to be coming together. And you can't forget Jake McKenzie. Jake McKenzie had some huge runs on that final drive against North Greenville to put Kennesaw State in position for a winning drive.
So as we approach the halfway point of the season, I think we've touched on a lot of the pleasant surprises. You know, one of the things I keep going back to is what else do they have on the shelf here? Last year, you know, the buzz was about TP and Desmond Johnson, these guys that redshirted the year before. All of a sudden, you got two bookend fanatical pass rushers that are doing a great job for you. This year, you break out Bryson Armstrong, who everybody's talking about. What else is on the shelf here?
Well, you know, and Anthony Gore and Desmond Johnson.
Izzy Sam.
I mean, the names are becoming well-known to us who stand on the
Taylor
sidelines.
Taylor Hinkle.
All those guys up there, they're becoming familiar to the fans and us, and because they're making plays. In big moments, they're making plays. And you can say the same thing from the offensive side. Bronson Rechsteiner against Samford had a tremendous game. He really kept them in it.
Yeah.
Those shots down the middle, which I'd kind of like to see them find a little bit more of that little dink and dunk stuff to open up the outsides. But, you know, you got to know your blocking assignments. You got to get on the field. But, those types and those names are becoming familiar. And you got to think, these guys are redshirt juniors. So there's going to be more time to get to know these guys, and they're only going to improve, you know, at least another season.
And this goes back to why this game is a rivalry game between Kennesaw State and Liberty. Turner Gill used to use the Kennesaw area, the Metro Atlanta area, as a wealth of picking.
They even had a radio affiliate in this area.
For talent to fill his team. And then Kennesaw comes along, and now they're taking this talent from him. And Turner Gill has said as much multiple times, like, this is why this game is so important. I need to beat Kennesaw State so I have bragging rights in these hardcore recruiting grounds to say, hey, you need to come to my program and not stay at home and not go to Kennesaw. That shows the wealth of talent. And Kennesaw right now is picking that talent very well.
Big difference between when the Owls went up there 2 years ago and now, as Coach Bohannon's talked about a lot this year, this is now a player-led team. You know, the difference in that game was kind of an avalanche where you buried yourself in the second quarter when you went up there against Liberty the first year back in 2015. As a player-led team, you got to stay within yourself. You got to stay disciplined. You got to avoid the avalanche of it being their homecoming and having the 30,000 or so people in the stands right behind your bench. Stay within yourself. Be the player-led team. Play your game and go up there and get a W.
And unfortunately, what we've seen, when you do have a player-led team and you put trust in those players, you have some mistakes. The personal foul penalties that Kennesaw State have incurred this season in really bad, untimely situations has blown the roof off of Bohannon's at times.
Oh, yeah.
They've got to limit those penalties. And they're averaging 8 penalties per game, which is way too many.
Well, and you're not going to get calls at Williams Stadium, but that's not uncommon on the road. That's not a slight to officials or anything about Williams Stadium. You're going to be up against. You might as well go in there figuring you're not going to get calls.
Well, they're going to be in there. Their place is going to be rocking. And, of course, referees, they get involved in that too. So they know Liberty's going to come out and be amped. It's their homecoming. Their stadium's going to be rocking. So, yeah, when Liberty takes that extra half step out of bounds and they hit a player, Referees are up. They're excited. They're jazzed up. That's just the nature of the beast. You know, you get it at home when you're home staying the same way. But to be a player-led team, what I want to see out of this sideline is when there is that unfortunate, that mistake, that personal foul penalty that shouldn't happen, Coach Bohannon should be the last person that gets to the players. Right. It should be the captain.
Yep.
And by the time Coach Bohannon gets to that player, it should be, I've heard it worse from my teammates. So whatever my coach says, I got it. I already heard it. You're actually the nice guy in this situation because my teammates held me to the fire more than my head coach.
Well, Brandon won't be making the trip up there with us. We appreciate the great work you've done.
I'll be listening.
Broadcast. Yeah, there you go.
I'll be listening.
So you're the one.
No. Yeah.
But Brandon won't make the trip up there. The big guy will be back with us, Tutan Reyes. We'll have coverage from Williams Stadium at 5:30, and then the kickoff between the Owls and the Flames coming up right afterward, about 6:05 or so from Lynchburg, Virginia. Guys, final thoughts as we get ready for what to me is one of the biggest program history games so far.
Well, I think that Kennesaw State has to go in and play their game. And I think the win against Texas Southern, the 60-minute that they put together, Kennesaw State football that's cake, man. That you've got to build on top of that. And third down conversions is going to be a big part of it. You're averaging about 50% last year in third downs. You're only about 44% this year. Third down conversions, short yardage, third down conversions are going to be huge for Kennesaw State if they're going to go up there and expect and even pick up a fourth down conversion,
yep.
Which is what
possess the ball,
grind the ball, use the clock, play Kennesaw State football, and this is probably going to get on the wire.
For me, I'm going to channel my inner Tutan Reyes. You have
good luck with that.
You have four quarters and one drive of Kennesaw State football. These are Big South games. These are the money games. So kids, go out there and get that money.
Yep. Good point. Turnovers are going to be a big key also. The Owls are plus 44 points, I believe it is, in points off turnovers. So, you know, if you can go out there and create a couple of takeaways, you help your cause a lot. Well, we certainly hope that you'll join us as we'll have the play-by-play call, and Nathan will be down on the sidelines. We got everything all ready to go up at Williams Stadium. The only thing we need to do now is have the Owls show up and lay the wood to the Flames. But we know better than that. It should be a down-to-the-wire game, as we talked about. We appreciate you dialing up our podcast this week. We do this every week during football season. It's the Final Word podcast, and we will have another one for you next week. And maybe, guys, we'll be talking about the biggest win in program history. Let's hope so.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully so.
All right, Brian Giffen with Nathan McCreary and Brandon Joseph. That's been the Final Word. We'll talk to you Saturday, everybody.